You just heard a snippet of one of the latest singles, Jekyll Hyde Love, by my very special guest, recording artist Theo Tams. I'm going to be playing several of his latest singles, and you're going to absolutely love them. Here to talk about his new music and a very special concert called Saying Goodbye that's coming up is singer-songwriter Theo Tams. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. How have you been?
I've been good. I mean, I feel like for all of us, the last year and a half has been crazy, and, you know, these unprecedented times and new adjustments and all that good stuff. But it's been, you know, really eye-opening in a lot of ways for me. So it's been great and busy and productive.
Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of new music you put out this year.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, it's a strange time to kind of be releasing new music because you can't back it up with a tour. But it's amazing just how, you know, resilient and creative you can be when you're kind of pushed into a corner like that. So like I said, it's been just an awesome exercise in kind of brainstorming new ideas to connect with fans and get the music out there.
I know so many of the artists have been struggling, you know, with the new norm that we're in right now and trying to adjust to having that time that you normally wouldn't have in the writing process because you're so structured and so scheduled for a certain amount of time to write new music and then you're out on the radio tours and then playing live shows to get your new music out there. Did you find that the writing changed for you during this time in this pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think for a lot of reasons, you know, even outside of the pandemic, I mean, the pandemic for me, especially the beginning, was a disaster in so many ways. I just didn't handle, the stress of it at all. So I was just drinking way too much. And, you know, I think that's one thing that the pandemic really did for me was it kind of just opened my eyes to, you know, just kind of having to face some demons. So mm-hmm. I'm going on 11 months sober in a couple weeks, which is
amazing. Absolutely amazing. Congratulations for that, because that's a hard hurdle, you know, to get over.
It's really interesting just how much it puts things into perspective. I feel like, you know, for me, I'm very comfortable saying that it's the hardest thing I've ever done and the thing that I'm most proud of too. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, even outside of the fact that the pandemic really changed the way that I was going to be creating music, I think sobriety changed it the most.
I would think so, because having that clarity to get away from all the noise, because a part of the drinking and a part of all the crutches that we all have tends to be because of the noise. Because you don't have that time to be able to unplug away from it all and just to be able to just be yourself and connect with your thoughts again and connect with your life. And I would imagine that's what you went through.
100%. I mean, yeah, you couldn't have said it better. I think, you know, for me, the drinking had been a problem and a crutch for a long time. I would say almost since Canadian Idol, which was 13 years ago, if mm-hmm. not more. So, yeah, to kind of be releasing these songs, which are kind of the first batch of songs that I've ever written, in this very kind of clear and level-headed headspace is very different and very exciting in its own right.
I'm so excited for you. When I've listened back to these songs, it's like, this is the person that I met way back 13 years ago.
Right.
Talking to you then, getting back to the roots, the music you really loved and the things that we talked about all those days. Like, it was so cool to be able to listen back to all this and your new body of work. So really, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I know that you love to write music and about your own personal experiences, and each record that you've released has been something new for you with the sounds. Tell us about your new sound now and what it feels like for you.
You know, in a lot of ways, I feel like these new releases and this new project, the first two trilogies, and then obviously the trilogy that's coming in the new year, I feel like so much of it was just in the exercise of saying yes. And, you know, I would just find myself in the studio and we'd be writing these types of songs. And about halfway through, I'd be like, oh, this is awesome. Let's pitch it to this artist, or maybe this artist could do it. I think it was still in an element of self-sabotage in a way, of wanting to kind of give them away so that there was no attachment. No necessarily ownership or exactly. So with the encouragement of my producer, very much just kind of dove into this new sonic sound. And just, yeah, like I said, in the spirit of saying yes, like, why not? Why aren't I doing these types of songs that come so naturally for me to write? Mm-hmm. So it's been a really cool experience to kind of just, yeah, throw myself into it in a more kind of fearless way.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're shedding layers and snippets of time with each one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very, very cool. I've always heard different things with your music. Let's take it back for some of the international listeners that we have. Going back to Canadian Idol, okay, where I got to meet you in the first place on the set, and where you were always one of my favorites because of your incredible vocals, your ability to navigate a song, and the way that you are always challenging yourself. And I think that's the way that you are still today, even more so. But that intimacy in your artistry was so beautiful to hear. What was it like for you to be on that show?
You know, it's kind of one of those situations that I feel like has a bit of a dual meaning. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, that show on a personal level was an incredible experience. You know, I had kind of just come out of the closet to my family, mm-hmm. and I grew up in a really strict kind of Christian conservative environment back home in Southern Alberta. So to kind of be surrounded by the cast and the crew of Idol and the whole kind of industry that embraced me, which was very liberal thinking and very progressive, was, I think, kind of personally what I needed at that time. Mm-hmm. I think professionally, those shows are definitely a double-edged sword. I feel like you have to look at them as what they are, and they're just simply stepping stones to kind of get you a little bit further, mm-hmm. on a faster trajectory than maybe your career would have taken. But I mean, I feel like when I was on the show, I kind of was in the business of proving people wrong. And 13 years later, I feel like that hasn't changed. I feel like regardless of where you come from and what kind of channel you use to break into the industry, you constantly have to be proving people wrong and proving your fans right.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting way to put it, because I've had a lot of the American Idol winners on the show, and I've also had the Voice winners on the show. And it isn't easy to navigate, because you've got to be really grounded in yourself. And that's the one thing that you always were, was grounded in your music and your ability to be able to sing, because you're classically trained. A lot of fans may not know that, but you've got an awful lot of history behind you when it comes to your study in music as well. And it's a difficult road, you know, to be able to stay away from what radio stations want and, you know, that whole business, like it's what, 20% music and the rest business?
Exactly. I mean, and I took a big step away from it for a few years, from about, I'd say 2014 to almost the end of 2018. Mm-hmm. I just took a giant step away. I wasn't writing, I wasn't performing, I wasn't even doing much singing on my own. And I kind of threw myself into just, you know, anything but music. Mm. And I kind of told myself that if I came back to it, then I wanted it to be on my own terms. And so my 2018 EP, Call the Doctor, was very much that. And it was kind of just this diary album that I really just needed to write personally. And the last song on that EP is actually called The Last Song. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I just wanted that to be kind of the end of that chapter and a culmination of everything that I had kind of been through up until that point, including the whole Canadian Idol thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's just all of the music that I've been releasing ever since, starting with Therapy, which came out in November of last year, has just been, yeah, this kind of new wave of of sound and identity a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was Call the Doctor was a personal diary for you, pretty much, right?
Really,
and
was.
Then the last song was just shedding, because everybody knows you for the ballads. I love the ballads. I always have. You know, you just got that voice for that. But to hear you come into this R&B, and, you know, this R&B pop is so cool. Really, really cool.
Oh, thank you. It's really interesting because obviously I am a ballad lover. Instinctually, it still is kind of when I really, really feel the need to just sit down and write, it's almost 90% a ballad. But it's been very, very exciting and kind of cool to see that instinct shift into these more soulful, kind of just cool and sexy vibes, which, like I said before, was for so long I was fighting against that instinct. So it's just exciting and awesome to kind of be riding that wave now.
It's amazing to see the shift in mindset, you know, as we go through life, because life's going to happen whether we like it or not, you know, and being able to adapt to that change. You know, maybe a lot of the hurdles that you were having before were holding you back from being able to punch through those.
I think that's exactly it. I mean, you know, writing these new songs and kind of allowing myself to be a bit more, you know, uninhibited. Mm-hmm. In so many ways, not only just musically, but also lyrically, and really starting to just be a little bit more authentic. I feel like I couldn't do that when I was drowning myself in alcohol.
I don't think anybody, you know, even, you know, people that are suffering, going through mental illness, and being able to love yourself and being able to understand that's where it starts, is being able to heal inside and being able to believe enough in yourself. And that's just that journey that we all have to take sooner or later. It's just sometimes, you know, we get forced into it, you know, especially like we have the last year and a half, right?
Exactly. 100%.
Now, when you're talking about Trilogy 1 and Trilogy 2, you got some pretty special music that's on this. The new direction that you were going with, did you know right off the top what you were going to be doing for the different kind of feel in this?
I knew that I wanted to take kind of a different approach to the actual vocal recording. And usually when I'm kind of in the studio creating and writing, it's just very, very relaxed. I'm usually kind of just in sweatpants and a t-shirt, and I'm sitting on the couch, and we're just kind of, you know, writing these songs. And then usually when I'd get to the microphone, I'd kind of be, you know, standing and more stoic and kind of just giving this strong delivery. And so I said, when I went in this time, I said, I don't want to lose that feel that we have when we create these songs. Mm-hmm. So I want to just really maintain that really kind of laid back, relaxed feel. And Therapy actually was one of the very first songs that we ended up writing for this project. So it's interesting that it kind of ended up being the first single that we kind of used to relaunch and reintroduce, you know, myself to the industry a little bit after 3 years from the last EP. So yeah, it was, I think, very intentional to kind of start to steer things drastically away from the sonics and the vibe of the very kind of heavy and personal album that Call the Doctor was.
Mm-hmm. That being your diary and being able to say, okay, that's the end of that chapter. And now, you know, moving on to the new one, I absolutely love the warmth and the soulful side of your vocals in this new music. Was it really hard to explore the R&B and that richness and that warmth and the soulful part of the vocals for these new projects?
No, I mean, not at all. I think that's what was so surprising, not only to myself in some ways, but also to the creative team that I'm working with, is just how easy and how effortless this was coming out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when we knew we really had something special, because it didn't, in no way was it fabricated, or did it feel like we were really kind of putting this on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything from, you know, not just the music and the recording, but all other aspects of the business in terms of the photos we were taking and the videos we were shooting. You know, I kind of just, for the first time in my career, was able to be like, I'm just really comfortable and kind of confident in what I'm presenting. I mean, I remember a couple years post Idol and showing up to these photo shoots and being like, oh, like these are not the kind of clothes that I wear.
Mm-hmm.
And just not really having kind of the confidence or the wherewithal to kind of be assertive and stand up for myself. And so it's really nice kind of being on the other side of all of that nonsense and just kind of very authentically facing forward and being like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that people get it and I hope that people stand with it. But at the end of the day, I'm super, super comfortable with what we're delivering. And for the first time, that started to make more of an impact for myself, was just worrying about how much I was comfortable and proud of the product.
I think that's where every artist needs to get to. And if they know that ahead of time, and I can't say that everybody's going to follow that, because they don't, just because of the directions that they're pulled in, you know, depending on who's on their team. But it's nice to see you gravitate to that and be more natural when it comes to what suits you. And to get to that place, that's an amazing place to be. And that's why it feels so good, you know, to have that authentic feel in your own skin.
100%. And I mean, I feel like it kind of is just a lesson in really learning to just, and it sounds so cliche, to kind of just, you know, stand with yourself and be yourself and be authentic. But I mean, and I still get people who will comment, and even people from the industry being like, you know, like, you know, like this to me comes across this way, or this doesn't really work for me. But it's learning that no matter what you do, you're going to have those voices.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like for me, it's really just been kind of that exercise in just being like, you know what, there's always going to be those voices and those opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm finally feeling super stoked about the sound and the image and everything that we're kind of putting forward, then the universe can take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because as long as you're doing it for you, then you know you're in the right place.
Exactly.
You know you're in the right place. We're going to take a short
break. I love this. It's like having like a therapy session with you. I love it.
Well, that's what we used to have way back then.
So good.
We did a lot of those. We are going to talk about that song Therapy, because when you released this one for the Trilogy One project, the song really explores your confidence and your self-exploration. And it's really authentic to you as a songwriter. Tell us about writing this one, because it's a perfect one to kick off this interview with, because this is you. This is exactly the person I met 13 years ago.
Right. I mean, if this was, I feel like every songwriter will tell you that some songs are written very easily and very quickly, and others kind of you need to tweak and massage, and they take a little longer. And Therapy was just written almost just stream of consciousness. I think that me and Marty, my producer, I think that we had it written and recorded in a couple hours. It
wow.
was just very, very quick. I think for me, it was, I remember we were writing, we had the verses done, we were writing the chorus. And then at the very end, I said, you know, what about ending it with like a tag saying, cause I mean, the chorus we had kind of just said, like, it is about those elements of being in a relationship and kind of second guessing whether or not you're good enough for
mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm.
whether or not you're loving them the way they need, or whether you're willing to kind of accept love in the way that they're giving it. And just these kind of, all of these elements of questioning and second guessing yourself. And I've been really, really open about my mental health struggles with anxiety and depression. And I said to Marty, I was like, how do you feel about kind of ending this chorus with just like a repetitive tag saying, I need therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of just turned around and he looked at me and he's like, let's try it. And he's like, because if it works, he's like, it's going to be genius.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really cool. And so it was really interesting to kind of be writing this super soulful, chill, sexy jam, and then kind of flipping it on its head with this bombshell of like, you know, but at the end of the day, like, I really just need therapy to figure this out. but I mean, that song has just proven to be, in some ways, the little engine that could. I mean, we released it in November of last year, so almost a year ago. Mm-hmm. And it got picked up on a bunch of different playlists on DSP, Spotify, Apple Music, which was fantastic. And then it was in February when all of a sudden we saw a massive spike mm-hmm. on all streaming. And it turns out that it started going viral in South Korea. And it's just been insane what's been happening over there. South Korea, now Taiwan and Thailand and Vietnam. And it's just been traveling around Southeast Asia, making its impact there. And we're getting bombarded with all of these just incredible South Korean dancers who are dancing to the track. And it's amazing sometimes the little gifts that the universe will give you when you just get the hell out of your own way.
It is so true.
It's just been really, really cool to see. If you would have asked me a year ago if a song of mine would be charting in Korea, I would have laughed. So it's been really just a blessing to see.
Mm-hmm. Because so many people, like you said, you've been very open about the struggles with the mental illness, and I commend you for being able to use your platform to do that, because it's changing lives. So many people just need to hear that there's somebody else out there that's feeling what they are, and it's okay to talk about, because there's always been that stigma that goes along with it and that criticism for anybody that suffers from it. But people don't realize you can lose a job. You can lose somebody in your life or something that's happened, that it could be a friendship that you've lost. People go through situational depression all the time.
Yeah.
And not know how to talk about it or not have anybody to share that with, because you think you're not supposed to. You're supposed to be tough and you deal with it and you push it down. And this is where it all comes from, is not dealing with things when they come up and being able to walk through those fears and get it out. And, you know, we get through it so much easier with the coping skills. But, you know, people just don't understand that. And I think going through this last year and a half, people needed to hear something like this. And so I commend you, you know, for shedding some light and being able to put some emphasis on this topic and being able to open up the communication and the dialogue.
Oh, thank you. It's been a really kind of wonderful eye-opening experience for myself as well. You know, I feel like just kind of seeing the momentum that we've been building over the last year and a half, and it really only has been since I started kind of showing and sharing these kind of ugly, messy parts of myself that for so long I feel like we're conditioned to hide and to not speak about. So it's been really interesting to kind of see the flip side of that mm-hmm. once I really kind of started to be like, you know what, guys, like, as much as I wish I could always be that very clean, polished version that you saw and fell in love with on Canadian Idol, this is the real deal. And I feel like it just brought me so much closer to my fans and to my supporters within the industry, and also brought so many new people on board.
Mm-hmm. Opens up a whole new audience, doesn't it? And being able to talk about things freely and just be yourself. And it's just, I'm absolutely loving this new Theo.
Oh, thank you.
Right now, we're going to play one of the songs off the Trilogy 1 EP, and it's called Therapy, the one that we've been talking about right now with my very special guest, Theo Tams, here on Music's Journey.
You know, I don't know why, but everything about you seems comfortable to me. Feel like I'm the one, feel like I'm the only one. Everything else seems small. Babe, I don't know why, but everything about you seems realist to me. Feel like I'm the man, feel like I'm your only man. We can get through it all. I don't wanna need ya, but I don't wanna leave ya. I just wanna see ya, feel ya, and be real, yeah. I just don't know how to love you. Just don't know how to be committed to you. Some I'm alone late night. Think about the mess I got inside. Ruin the illusion of your paradise. Saying I won't change my mind, but I don't wanna lead you on. I might wanna be the one. I just wanna see you, feel you, and be real, yeah. I just don't know how to love you. Just don't know how to be committed to you. A pillow too, a sit down conversation, a new attitude. But if there's a possibility of losing you, I'll do what I need, what I need.
Don't know how to love you.
Off Trilogy One, and it's such an amazing EP by my very special guest Theo Tams. I love the exploration of the authentic feelings that we all go through in life, and just being able to be real about it, talk about it, admit, you know, the good and the bad in ourselves and struggles we're having in a relationship. It could be, you know, something to do with your work. It could be so many different aspects of a life, a parent or a sibling, or, you know, a neighbor, friend, so many situations that the song can relate to. So pretty cool song. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You've always been somebody who wrote, as I said, personal experiences in your life, but you've always challenged yourself creatively as well. This new direction in music is absolutely so special. It explores so much of your voice I don't think that I've heard before. And I just love it, that rich, warm feeling that you get, that soulful feeling in your vocals.
Thank you. I mean, like I said, that was very much part of the goal, was kind of, you know, I said, if we're going to, after we released Call the Doctor with the last song, I said, now's kind of the chance to come out with something new and different and something that's going to surprise people. I want people to hear these songs, and when they hear that it's Theo Tams, I want them to be like, what? And I want there to be that kind of, you know, very enthusiastic reaction and element of surprise. And mm-hmm. I feel like we delivered that with just really kind of diving in and exploring these different colors and textures within my voice that we just simply haven't ever presented before.
You must have had to lay off them a bit when you were in the studio too, to what you normally deliver.
100%. It yeah. was a very, very different vocal approach. Like I said, it still is, you know, when I perform live, I still have this habit of just, because I am classically trained and I've worked very hard to be able to be the vocalist that I am. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of restraining that a little bit and letting the more kind of artistic side of my vocals show. Mm-hmm. You know, I still very much try to always deliver just the cleanest vocal that I can, but sometimes there is just a lot of beauty in the grit, mm-hmm. and in the, yeah, maybe the less polished kind of parts of my voice. So
I love the grit. I love the grit in your voice, because you deliver that. It, as I said, it reminds me of the old school R&B.
When I listen to, or when I think of the music, the old school R&B music that I just loved growing up, it was, you know, like Aaron Neville and Craig David, and just these, and even like Lionel Richie, and just these crazy amazing singers. But there was just an ease to everything that they did, even though they were just, and they are still, extremely brilliant vocalists. Mm-hmm. It never sounded too in your face. There was always just this really beautiful element of restraint. Mm-hmm. So we kind of just tried to tap into that kind of chill factor a little bit.
Well, you did it in Jekyll Hyde Love. We played earlier in the top of the interview there. So we played a little snippet of it, and you released that one earlier in trilogy number 2. And I love the richness and the fullness, but the smooth vocals in this one. We are going to play the song right now. Here is Jekyll Hyde Love by my very special guest, singer, songwriter, pop artist, Theo Tamms, here on Music's Journey.
If I'm being honest, you're spinning my head, wondering when I should be cautious or let you back in time and again. Throw up my logic, tell me I'm the one saying we got this, then dump me in August, yeah. Make a love like fire, but you're cold as ice. We fight like Tyson, but we play so nice. When you treat me bad, I just close my eyes, 'cause I love you blind. You get me high, 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 off this Jekyll high, 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 high. Love, I'm thinking why, high, high, high. I keep falling for it. Low key, I adore it. This Jekyll high. Jekyll Hyde. I tell you the truth, if I could choose, I'd put you on clearance. Watch you disappear, wash you right out of my spirit. But there's something about you, something about you. Don't know, but I need it. One touch and I'm feeling, I'm getting you all in my feelings. Make a love like fire, but you're cold as ice. We fight like Tyson, but we play so nice. When you treat me bad, I just close my eyes, 'cause I love you. You get me high, 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 off this Jekyll high, 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 high. Love, I'm thinking why, high, high, high. I keep falling for it. Low key, I adore it. This Jekyll.
That was Jekyll Hyde Love by my very special guest, Theo Tamms. Smooth vocals on this one, that richness and warmth that we all love. I love seeing both sides of love in this song, and it really talks about the great part of love and then the harder part of love. Tell us about writing this one.
I mean, in so many ways, I feel like especially just on social media, we're always so quick to kind of really present, you know, not only ourselves, but our relationships as just these kind of Valentine's Day Hallmark movie moments. And I've never kind of shied away from the fact that I've always said I feel like relationships are so hard. They're just a lot of work. And my partner and I, we've been together for a decade now. And it's incredible the amount of work and growth that we've both had to do, you know, individually, but also as a couple to kind of make it work. So I kind of wanted to tap into that feeling and that truth a little bit with Jekyll Hyde Love, that obviously there is this undeniable love and attraction and connection, but also sometimes there's hurt and there's pain, and that's just a reality of being in you know, a long-term committed relationship. And for us, I think it's, we always laugh about it because we always try to have the debate of who's Jekyll and who's Hyde. which I'm sure that that changes almost on the daily. But, you know, it's just, I feel like there's not a lot of songs kind of written from the perspective of, you know, yeah, sometimes we have great moments and sometimes we have really crappy, dark moments, but it's also kind of what keeps us focused and what keeps us working on our end game.
I think that, you know, naturally people go through these, and I don't care who you are, everybody does, because life happens. And when life's putting pressure on your partner, you got to lift them up, and, you know, vice versa when it turns the other way. And it's going to be there, but people talking about those issues and being able to navigate through them, understanding that when you do come out the other side, that's what real love is. It's not all the fantasy stuff that, you know, we talk about when we first meet somebody. It's being able to get through those tough times and having that person's back and being able to be there and support each other.
Exactly, 100%. And I feel like the people that I'm really drawn to in terms of, you know, just the couples that I look up to are the people that talk about kind of those rougher moments. And I think we have to start normalizing the fact that relationships are not always, you know, a bed of roses. Sometimes mm-hmm. they are a lot of work. And I feel like that's one of the things about that song that has really resonated with people is, you know, I love receiving messages from fans all over the world being like, thank you for kind of finally writing a song that dives into the fact that that's what love is. It mm-hmm. just often is this very double-sided coin.
Well, you see a lot of relationships, younger relationships, especially in this generation, that look at each other and say, okay, first sign of trouble, I didn't like that that person did that, or, you know, that person said this, and they just brush them off and done. And like divorce yeah. rates, you know, everything exactly. starts soaring through the roof instead of working through it like they did, you know, with our grandparents and our parents.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And it's just being able to talk about this and reminding people it's working through the stuff that builds that long lasting love that people are looking for if they just stick it out and just work together, you know, but you got to have communication to do that. And without that communication, nothing works. So I love the real life issues in this song, that it represents the good, the tougher side of the real love that we all can relate to. I love the way that you produced this song. So this has been a breath of fresh air when I'm listening to it, because your training and your artistry, delivering those vocals and the R&B vibe with that soul, it's so clean, and you bring that elevation, also holding it perfectly in your vocals where you needed to in this song. Really cool.
Oh, thank you. It was this was a really cool kind of moment for me too, because it was the first time in my career that I've actually had a hand in the production. Mm-hmm. I'm a co-producer on all of these songs. Normally I would kind of just go in and lay down my vocals and I would get out. I wasn't really involved in any other aspect of the track building. And for, you know, for these songs too, it was just, that was something that was so important to me. I'm just really grateful to Marty, the main producer, for kind of, you know, allowing the space for me to kind of get in there and put my stamp on it as well. So, it's exciting to kind of have a hand in other aspects of the creative process.
I like it because it's not overproduced. And a lot of songs today have a tendency to be overproduced. And the idea that you had for Trilogy 1 and 2 are really well done.
Ah, thank you. I feel like in songs like these, where I feel like just the story alone and lyrically we delivered what we wanted to, the focus had to just be on letting the vocal tell the mm-hmm. story. Which was a challenge sometimes, because I mean, I feel like for a lot of these songs, they definitely had a lot more bells and whistles before we took a break and kind of came back to them being like, we don't need any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's just, you know, like, let's just mute that, pull that out of there, and let's just let them simply be what they are. And that's just soulful stories.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I've noticed, you know, in these projects that you've done, is you're letting the story, you've become such an amazing storyteller. And that's new. And I know you've always connected with your music before, and it was so beautifully done. We all could emotionally feel every word that you've said, but it's different with this, you know, these new projects. And it's just such a great thing to see and explore in your new music. And I think the fans are going to absolutely love it. We're going to talk about another one that you've done too, and it's The Feeling, Hate to Love, your second track on your trilogy too. I love the direction of this one. And you're undeniably gifted when it comes to your vocals. It's so incredible, the amazing tone that you have. Talk about writing this one and producing this one and the vision you had for the song.
Right. So this one is the only song out of the first two trilogies that wasn't produced by Marty. This was produced by a guy named Joel Stoffer, who is just this incredible pop producer. I wrote it with a good friend of mine, Jalea, as well, who's an artist on the same label as me. And you could probably hear too, this is definitely the most pop out of all of the tunes that we released, which is very much kind of in Joel's forte. But this song too, just another really, really easy tune to write. Very, very quick. And, I don't normally go in. I've kind of dropped all of that, all that preconceived kind of nonsense of like, what's radio going to want, or what's the label going to want? But there was something very, very cool and very fresh about this song from its conception. Even I think as soon as we had the first verse in the chorus, we just knew that there was just this really chill, easy vibe to it.
It's such a great
song. And still, I think to this day, maybe outside of the songs that are coming in the new year on Trilogy 3, The Feeling is a standout for me.
It's a very, very cool song. Here is The Feeling, Hate to Love, by my very special guest, Theo Tams, here on Music's Journey.
I want to take you all the way. You say to take it slow. You always want it your way, and I got a ways to go. We're good at complication, no good at real talk. Honest infatuation, nothing to be proud of. Two cars on the wrong street, two lines but we don't meet, yeah. Body language but we don't speak, body language but we don't speak. No one has the upper hand, upper hand. And I can't stop the are high enough. Don't know what you're afraid of. So hard to open up. Something so obvious, we can't let it pass us by. Love don't need no permission, no need to justify. You and me, body language, you and me. No one has
That was The Feeling, Hate to Love by Canadian pop artist Theo Tams. I absolutely love this one. The new wave of music for you is amazing. I remember one of your biggest influences was Tracy Chapman, I think, if I remember correctly, and even Lenny Kravitz, we were talking about way back, and the old school of the 90s R&B influences in your new music that you can hear today. It's, I love it.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I love that you just mentioned Tracy Chapman, because she is just, and always has been, kind of this anchor of my creativity and of my writing process. And I definitely kind of had her in mind and was listening to all of her albums while we were creating this stuff. And I loved the fact that she can sing and write about the most intense subject matter, but there is always just this very relaxed kind of chill approach that is a stark juxtaposition to what she's singing about. And I feel like, yeah, that was always something that we kind of kept in mind, was to try to follow in that vein.
It's amazing the clarity you have right now and the direction that you're going, releasing the music that I know you always wanted to do. I know that was something that was hard to deal with over the last 13 years, but to see you come to this place and this part of your journey, it's beautiful to watch.
Ah, thank you so much. It has been a wild ride, and I'm so, so proud of the journey that I've been walking so far, and it's so exciting to kind of look at the next, 9 months to a year of all of the music and all of the videos that we have planned to release, and kind of see things really kind of align and fall into place in ways, both professionally and personally, that they just haven't before. So it's an exciting and really humbling thing.
It's amazing when we get through those hurdles, and you think you need those things going through your journey. You think you need those, doing the partying and doing all the things that we think are part of our lives that we're supposed to be doing. And a lot of young people out there doing that and realizing that, look how beautiful your life is right now and how good you feel in your own skin today.
It is literally the biggest kind of thing that I still am just massively shocked at and surprised at, was that everything that I really wanted to feel by drinking as much as I was, with, trying to just feel more confident and more successful and more established, and just all of these things that I was trying to find at the bottom of the bottle, I feel like I finally found by putting it away.
It's always right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been just a crazy, very difficult at times still journey, but it's been just a wonderful blessing as well.
Well, you've got the tools and the skills behind you now, right, to be able to start working with it when those tough times come, because they're going to be. They're always going to be there. As I said, life happens. We can't control that. But what we can do is control how we handle it, right?
And it Absolutely.
Makes all the difference in the world. I have talked so much about this in the past with you and wanted to touch base with it a little bit more here. And that is facing the industry, the music industry, and the challenges that you've had along the way and dealing with the business part of it. Talk about that.
I feel like it, coming from a show like Canadian Idol, it gets your, I kind of have always used the metaphor that it gets your foot in the door. I feel like the one thing that I wasn't necessarily expecting was so many people on the other side of that door just trying to kick the foot back out again. Mm. And I still feel like there's, no matter what I do, I mean, just, this was maybe a few months ago, and my team and I were having this big marketing meeting surrounding some of the upcoming releases. And there was one of the kind of the top guys at one of these streaming services kind of just mentioned, and he's just like, I don't say this as anything to kind of discourage you, but when we hear Theo Tams, we still think Canadian Idol. Ah. And it's massively discouraging to hear that, no matter what I kind of come to the table with, there's always going to be kind of this muddy veil that screams, talent show winner. So I feel like that's kind of been the biggest challenge. But I mean,
you've done your dues when it comes to all of that. And, you know,
I feel like it was 13 years ago. I feel like I definitely have kind of paid my dues and paved my own way outside of that show. But I feel like perception is reality. And if that's what, you know, there still is kind of these high end people in the industry, if that's what they're thinking, I've never shied away from a challenge. And I'd rather myself not have to say anything directly about it. And I'm just going to let the music speak for itself, which I think is what we've been doing over the past year.
I think it's really important that you said this, because I think that a lot of people out there, especially if they go to, you know, do interviews, that may not have been in this business long enough, that, you know, they want to throw, you know, Canadian Idol, Theo Tams in front of your name instead of having exactly what you are. And that is a recording artist of your own right. And you, like you said, you've paid your dues. And when it comes to being able to establish yourself as one of the top recording artists, you've done that and you've proved that. And I'm really hoping that people start moving away from that and not using that to get something in a paper or, you know, get it on live stream.
Right.
You want it to be about the music, and you've done
right,
a great
exactly.
job.
Exactly. I mean, I feel at this point, it's just kind of part and parcel of always having to wear that badge. I mean, I look at someone like Kelly Clarkson, and she has won, you know, several Grammys now, and she's been on The Voice for years. She has her own talk show, for Pete's sake. And still now, when she's written, when people write about her, it's usually American Idol winner Kelly Clarkson.
I know.
So I feel like it's always just going to be this badge. And it's a beautiful badge. I'm really proud of that badge. It's just my job now to kind of navigate the best way to wear it.
Exactly. Exactly. It was a part of your journey, as you said. It was that stepping stone that, you know, moved you a little bit quicker than what you probably would have done. And, you know, you got to be able to use those platforms to be able to build up yourself and your career. And you've done just that. We're going to talk about another single that we're going to be playing, and it's Quit You Love.
Quit You Love is just such a personal song for me. I wrote it last summer, kind of at the height of my addiction with alcohol. And I just kind of, I was alone. And I was, for I think that week, I was alone, and I was just drinking a nonsensical amount, just constantly. And I remember kind of waking up the following morning. I remember it was a Monday, and I had just been on this crazy, irresponsible bender. And just kind of waking up and being like, I don't know how to quit this. It had become my best friend. It had become an abusive lover. It had become this solace for me in a weird way. And I just started writing kind of these thoughts down about, and just kind of saying like, I don't know how to quit you, love. And that's kind of what sparked this kind of song about kind of writing about alcohol as this lover that just, you know, it's not good for you in any aspect, and you just don't know how to leave. And I feel like regardless of what anyone else's kind of relationship is with different substances, I feel like everyone has that one thing or that one person that they have a really hard time walking away from. But yeah, it's really interesting now, especially that it's been out and I've had to perform it live and kind of transport myself back to the moment it was written.
Especially
now being sober and then going back to that really kind of shattered moment of weakness is a challenge, but also just a really, really great kind of perspective opportunity.
Well, because it gives you self-control when you're looking at it. You're going to feel those
exactly.
that pain, and that pain's always going to be there. It's always going to be very real to you every time you do, but at the same time, it's like, I got control of you now when I go to do this.
Yeah.
Very much
that's
so.
That's it.
Let's play Quit You Love by my very special guest, Theo Tams, here on Music's Journey.
Feel like I've been hooked on you since 22, and out of the blue, you had me begging for you, baby. You look so good, yeah, you taste so good, but you're just no good for me, yeah. But I need that fix, baby. Give me one quickly, please.
That was Quit You Love by Canadian pop artist Theo Tamps here on Music's Journey. That was from the Trilogy 2 EP. Just want to remind fans that you can download any of the music that you've heard here on your streaming platforms. You can also add them to all of your playlists and share them on all of your socials. You can also request these singles, ones that you love, you can request them at your local radio station. I have to tell you, when you released the video, the rendition of Tennessee Whiskey, holy cow, it gave me chills to listen to you sing that.
Oh, thank you.
You need to release this one.
It is, I mean, for obvious reasons, that song just sits just so special in my heart. So I'm glad that it resonated with you. It's just such a wonderfully written song.
But the storyteller side of you and your vocals in this song are absolutely incredible. That rich, beautiful rasp, that soulful voice, this was something special.
Thank you.
You have also done a very special song, and I know that this is moving into another project that you've got, and it's called Say My Name by Destiny's Child. Tell us about choosing this one and why it was so important to you.
You know, I wanted to kind of just take a small step out of the narrative of all of these original songs, which is so important to me, and kind of telling my own story. But I feel like one thing that's always kind of very underrated and underrepresented in the industry is, I mean, we're artists, we're singer-songwriters, we live and breathe music. So why not celebrate some of these other songs that were highly impactful for my kind of musical journey? And I have, I've said from the very, very beginning of my career that I have always loved female vocals. Mm-hmm. I grew up listening to all of these different girl groups and female singers. So I have kind of this unexpected trilogy dropping in November, and it's called Girls, and it's just three songs by three different girl groups. So the first one dropped, Say My Name by Destiny's Child, and I kind of just really wanted to just deliver it in a way that kind of tells the story in a different way. And I feel like that's one thing that people have always kind of picked up on, is just kind of the unique way that I interpret songs that aren't mine and try to deliver them in a way as though I wrote them myself. Mm-hmm. And that song is just, I mean, probably one of the most iconic girl group songs ever written. And it was just a blast. It was just honestly an exercise in just having fun and kind of letting loose. And once again, just trying to take the opportunity to showcase different sides of myself and different sides of my voice that we necessarily haven't yet.
Mm-hmm. As I said, this has just been this year to me, listening to your music has just been so beautiful. And here is Say My Name, Destiny's Child, by my very special guest, pop artist Theo Tamps, here on Music's Journey.
Say my name, say my name. If no one is around you, say baby, I love you. If you ain't running games, say my name, say my name. You're acting kind of shady, ain't calling me baby. Any other day, I would call, you would say, baby, how's your day? But today it ain't the same. Every other word is uh-huh, yeah, okay. Could it be that you are at the crib with another baby? If you took it there, first of all, let me say, I am not the one to sit around and be played. So prove yourself to me, I'm the man that you claim. Why don't you say the things that you said to me yesterday? I know you're gonna say that I'm assuming things. Something's going down just the way it seems. Shouldn't be the reason why you're acting strange. Nobody's holding you back from me. Cause I know how you usually do. When you say everything to me times two. Why can't you just tell the truth? If somebody's there, then tell me who. Say my name, say my name. If no one is around you, say baby I love you. If you ain't running games, say my name,
acting kinda shady, been calling me baby. What is up with this? Tell the truth, who you with? How would you like it if I came over with a clip? Don't try to change it now, see you gotta bounce. When 2 seconds ago, you said you just got in the house. It's hard to believe that you are at home by yourself. When I just heard the voice of someone else. Just this question, why do you feel you gotta lie? Getting caught up in your game when you cannot say my name.
I know you're gonna say that I'm assuming things. Something's going down, it's the way it seems. Shouldn't be the reason why you're acting strange. If nobody's holding you back from me. Cause I know how you usually do. When you say everything to me times two. Why can't you just tell the truth? If somebody's there, then tell me who.
If somebody's there, then tell me who. If somebody's there, then tell me who.
That was Say My Name by Theo Tams. I love that exploration from you and just these different songs that you're coming up with to be able to release. Can you say the other two songs that are going to be on this special EP that's coming out in November?
I'm only going to tell you. It's like an exclusive. So we're doing a Blackpink song.
Ooh.
Kind of also just out of, you know, a nod of thankfulness to all the new Korean fans who have kind of come on board. It's called Love to Hate Me, which is just
nice.
Kind of in the vein of this Jekyll Hyde love mm-hmm. kind of side of things. And then the other one, which is probably my favorite cover that I've ever done, including all of the songs that I did on Idol. We stripped down and slowed down completely and just made this beautifully haunting, really moody version of Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot Like Me by the Pussycat Dolls.
Nice.
And I remember coming into the studio with my producer and kind of trying to pitch him on the idea. And he normally is very on board with all of these outrageous ideas that I have. And he kind of looked at me with this one and he's like, oh, dude, he's like, I don't know. Like that seems like a bit of a stretch. And I said, just go with me on it. And let's just record the first verse and a chorus. And, you know, I'll kind of show you where my headspace is at for it. And if you dig it, we'll finish it. And I think we got two lines in and he was just like, this is going to be stunning. So let's do it.
Nice. And the other thing too, with all of this is like, it absolutely shows tribute to women and to the female singers out there and being able to shed some light on some of the beautiful work that we've had in the girls' bands as well as female artists out there.
Yeah, I mean, I just find it so interesting that like when we think of, you know, kind of the pop era, we think of Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and New Kids on the Block. And we don't really talk about Destiny's Child and how massive they were. Mm-hmm. And we don't talk about TLC, you know, and even these days, like I think it was maybe just a few months ago that Little Mix at the Brit Awards was the first girl group to win Best Group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's shocking considering that they're from the same country as the Spice Girls.
I know. It's just
so I feel like for so long, no matter how successful these women are in the industry, there's always an element of being overlooked. And I just wanted to kind of take the opportunity to celebrate these women who, in a lot of ways, have paved the way for so many artists, but I think especially artists within the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
They celebrate us and allow us to celebrate them. And it's just a really fun, special project.
Now, you have another project that you're working on for 2022.
I do. Yeah. So outside of the next trilogy that drops, I'm, and I kind of wanted to keep all of the focus on these trilogies very much in this vein of
mm-hmm.
new music that's coming out. But I did end up writing a song back in February I was only a couple months into this new sobriety journey. And obviously, whenever I'm kind of feeling things really heightened, which over the last year, it's kind of been, that's all my life has been. I'm really feeling kind of the whole spectrum of emotion for the first time in so long.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not numbing it with anything. So I've always been a really emotional person, but you take alcohol away and I'm really emotional. So that was obviously very, very much in the beginning too. So I just kind of wanted to write a song, and there was really no intention of releasing it necessarily. I think it was just very much going to be personal kind of release for myself and my feelings at the time. And then when I did end up showing the team, everyone just kind of felt that it was a really important song to release, not only for myself and to kind of bookend the story, but to kind of just open up the conversation a little bit about the stereotypes and the stigma surrounding addiction, alcohol abuse, obviously, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So the song is called One Last Chance, and we're releasing that first week of December, which will mark my first year of sobriety.
So nice. Wow. I can't wait to hear this one. Now, you're going to be performing a very special show on November 14th, and it's called Saying Goodbye.
Yeah. I mean, I was reached out to a couple months ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, about this just really beautiful initiative of the concert Saying Goodbye, which is really just trying to open up the conversation of grief, mm-hmm. of loss, which I'm sure for so many of us that has been so compounded even more since the COVID-19 pandemic. And it's just trying to open the door and create the space to start normalizing what grief is. And I still feel like there's this kind of stigma attached to loss and grief, that you only get this amount of time to grieve.
It is,
and you only
so
get this amount of time
true.
To heal. And I think it's time that we start talking about how grief looks very, very different for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to allow the conversation to be had, to just give people the time and the space and the support and the conversation to feel as though they can grieve in a way that works for them,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't isolate them as much.
I love this awareness for National Grief and Bereavement Day that's being held on November 16th. And the tickets for everybody to get are free, and it's sayinggoodbyeconcert.ca is where you can get tickets for this show. And it's a virtual show. They've got some pretty special artists that are going to be on the show. We've got a lot of them coming up in the next week, but some pretty special names that are going to be there that are going to be playing this one with you. That I'm really grateful for. So thank you for doing this incredible show, because so many people have also not been able to have those funerals and the celebration of life events during this period of social distancing and isolation, and that profound effect of not being able to grieve and that grieving process. And I still haven't been able to do that with my mom yet, and you know, that service still hasn't been able to happen. So you know, I understand all of this, and I really relate to this.
Thank you. It's like I said, it's just a really, really wonderful initiative, and I'm so sorry for your loss. I mean, what a loss. But like you said, just to experience it kind of during these times when you can't really move forward and feel like you get the kind of closure that you need. I wish you so much peace with that.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for doing this event and all the incredible artists that are going to be a part of this one. So again, fans, you can go to sayinggoodbyeconcert.ca to get your tickets for this virtual event. It's going to be pretty special. So in honor of and awareness of National Grief and Bereavement Day on November 16th. So really nice. When are you guys going on between 8 and 10 p.m., right?
Yes.
On that night. So I will put that up on the article as well, so everybody can go to that and take a look and make sure that you reserve your ticket for this virtual event. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and I look forward to being able to share more of your very special music coming up in the months ahead. So maybe we'll have you back in December if that's okay with you.
I would love that. Always so nice to chat, Kim. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on the show, Theo. Congratulations on your sobriety. Thank you so much for sharing your incredible gift and your artistry with us all. And that's your gift. That's your legacy that you've left with every one of us. And it means so much to us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I want to remind fans that you can download any of the music that you've heard here today, the incredible songs that we have played for you on any of your streaming platforms. You can also add them to your playlist and share them on all your socials. Don't forget, when you put them on your playlist, it allows other people that you may not know that tap into your playlist and be able to hear music that they've never heard before. So it's a great way of being able to share some pretty special music. You can also request them at your local radio station. I would like to give a great big thank you to my very special guest, pop R&B singer-songwriter Theo Tams, for coming on the show. You can catch my show every Tuesday evening from 7 until 9 p.m. and you can also check out all of my interviews at Music's Journey. com. And all of the interesting articles and the latest music with the videos by all the artists that I've interviewed at nowandthenmagazine.com. You can also listen to all of the podcasts on all of your streaming platforms under Music's Journey Podcast. I can't wait for you to join me. We've got some pretty special shows coming up. We've got Doc Walker, JoJo Mason, Colin James. I can't wait to talk to him after all these years. I can't wait for this one. Dan Davison, Lemon Cash, James Barker Band, Michelle Wright's going to be here, Carolyn Dawn Johnson, Kendra Kay, Bobby Wills, Farewell Town, rock band FKB, Weapons, Kea. Shane Connery Volk is also going to be here. He is the lead singer frontman for the rock band One Bad Sunny. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey. You have yourselves a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time.
Say my name, if no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you, if you ain't running game. Say my name, you're acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby. The day I would call, you would say, baby, how's your day? But today it ain't the same. Every other word is uh-huh, yeah, okay. Could it be that you are at the crib with another baby? If you took it there, first of all, let me say, I am not the one to sit around and be playing. So prove yourself to me, I'm the man that you claim. Why don't you say the things that you said to me yesterday? I know you're gonna say that I'm assuming things. Something's going down, it's the way it seems. Shouldn't be the reason why you're acting strange. If nobody's holding you back from me, 'cause I know how you usually do. When you say everything to me turns two, why can't you just tell the truth? If somebody's there, then tell me who. Say my name if no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you if you ain't running games. Say my name, you're acting kinda shady. Ain't calling me baby. What is up with this? Tell the truth, who you're with. How would you like it if I came over with a clip? Don't try to change it now. See, you gotta bounce. When 2 seconds ago you said you just got in the house, it's hard to believe that you are at home by yourself. When I just heard the voice of someone else. Just this question, why do you feel you gotta lie? Getting caught up in your game when you cannot say my name.
I know you're gonna say that I'm assuming things. Something's going down, it's the way it seems. Shouldn't be the reason why you're acting strange. If nobody's holding you back from me, 'cause I know how you usually do. When you say everything to me times two, why can't you just tell the truth? If somebody's there, then tell me who.
If somebody's there, then tell me who. If somebody's there, then tell me.